Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1. It says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne of grace, thanking you for the blessings you've given us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the services this morning, and now, Father, for bringing us back out tonight for the services this evening. We ask, Lord, that you'd lead and direct in the services now. Thank you for the good song service. We ask now that as we look into our Bibles, that we might sense the Spirit moving, showing us things that we need to see. Father, we pray that you would give us things this evening that we might be able to carry with us throughout the week. Help us to be the witness that we ought to be for thee. We thank you for the heritage of our fathers in the faith. Father, we ask you to give us the grace in these last days to stand in the gap and to be what we ought to be for thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, on Sunday evenings now we've been studying about things concerning the Lord's church. And we've studied many things about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we want to think about her name. According to history, the name Baptist has come down to us from our enemies. The Lord's true churches have been called many different things down through time, but one common name among them all was the name Anabaptist. After the Reformation, that prefix, Anna, eventually began to be left off, and the Lord's churches were called just simply Baptist churches. I believe that it is entirely possible, yea, even probable, that God had his providential hand at work in this name that has come down to us.
Amen.
Throughout history.
Amen.
We see, as we look in the New Testament, that it is a scriptural name. First of all, it is divine. It is a name that God himself gave to his churches, to his followers, to his people. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And then skip down to verse 33 where John is speaking and he says, "I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." So John was a man sent from God. And the mission that John was given was to be a baptizer. As far as God was concerned, this preacher, this messenger of God, this man of God was a Baptist.
Right.
That's what a Baptist is, a baptizer. A Baptist. In Matthew, the third chapter, we see what the Word of God calls this man who was sent from God to baptize. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I submit to you tonight that in any existing true church of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, if John the Baptist was to come and to stand in their pulpits tonight, he would preach the same kind of message that he preached when he was walking by the shores of River Jordan nearly 2,000 years ago. Repent and believe the gospel. As a matter of fact, if John was walking on this earth today and he had his choice of a church to preach on, I don't think he'd choose any other kind of church but this kind of church to preach in.
Going further than that, Bill, I believe that he'd be appalled to think there would be any other kind of church.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, well, you know, we are, I guess, a product of our thinking is arranged in such a way that we just automatically think about these other groups out there because that's always been there all of our life. But in New Testament times, there was no such thing as a Catholic or a Protestant. There was no such thing as a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Campbellite or any of these other denominations that have sprung up in existence down through time. The only kind of Christian, the only kind of New Testament believer in New Testament times was a Baptist. I know that this kind of teaching rubs people the wrong way. And I don't do it just to rub people the wrong way. It's just the way the Bible is. We just preach it this way, just teach it this way, because we can't really preach it or teach it any other way. God called John the Baptist. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you go to a Lutheran and that Lutheran does something to you and says that you're baptized, then you're a Lutheran. If you go to a Presbyterian and that Presbyterian does something to you and calls it baptism, you're a Presbyterian. If you go to a Methodist, same scenario. If you are baptized by a Baptist, then that makes you a Baptist, doesn't it? Is my reasoning wrong there? I think that sounds proper and logical.
That's the order God established. Life.
If that is so, brother, what were the apostles? Who baptized them? John the what? The Baptist. You see, so that's why even though we get our name from our enemies according to history because, you know, they called us the Anabaptists, the Rebaptized, and eventually they got tired of saying Anabaptists and finally they just started calling us Baptists, plain old Baptists. And according to history, that's where we got our name and that's true historically. But I still believe that God had a providential hand in it somehow, some way, because God likes that name.
Because God became a Baptist.
Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ. Yeah. There. Well, what was Jesus? What was Jesus anyway? Amen. I mean, what kind of a preacher baptized Jesus? Amen. A Baptist. There was a man sent from God. Yeah, his name was John. His name wasn't John the Baptist.
That's right.
His name was John. He was a Baptist. He was a preacher. He was a Baptist preacher. He was a missionary Baptist preacher. He was independent. There wasn't any conventions then.
Here's some
landmarkers. Amen. Yeah, I believe he was a sovereign gracer too.
Amen.
But the name that we have as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a name that we need not be ashamed of. I realize and I know that there's a lot of people that claim our name that aren't Baptists. And that's a shame. And I'm sorry for that. But because some people that are off the track that are wearing our name doesn't mean that we shouldn't still be proud to wear the name Baptist. I use the same analogy with the name Christian. Now there's a lot of people, there's a lot more people out there that wear the name Christian than there are that wear the name Baptist, and that they're not Christians. So are you going to deny that you're a Christian because a bunch of other people out there call themselves Christians and aren't?
Same can be said of the charity of birth.
Born again. That's right. A lot of people say, I've been born again. There's nothing wrong with that term. A lot of people have shied away from that term because, you know, since Jimmy Carter and all that, but no reason to shy away from the terminology born again. That's Jesus talk. But back to the name Baptist. I believe that it is a divine name. Let me read to you, continue on here in Matthew the 3rd chapter. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. He said, turn or burn. He said, the kingdom is coming. You need to turn from your sins. You need to believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. That was his message. And when people gave evidence of repentance, then he would take them down into the Jordan River and he would bury them in a solemn picture of what Christ was going to do to save us from our sins. And according to these verses here in the 3rd chapter of Matthew, there were certain ones that came to him that were religious fellows. These were some of the most religious fellows you could imagine. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They came out to this preacher. And they said, we want to be baptized too. And he didn't baptize them. Because there was no evidence of a genuine salvation experience. He said, you show me some proof that you have repented, you have turned from your sins, then I'll baptize you. Until then, you just have your religion. And I'll keep preaching Christ. John was the man that pointed to Jesus Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I remember when we were a mission and we were thinking about organization as a church, and we was trying to pick a name. For a while, we even thought about not having the name Baptist because of the abuse. I'm glad we decided to call ourselves the Lord's Baptist Church. It is a divine name. Not only is it a divine name, but it is a descriptive name. Baptist is the only New Testament name that describes an immersed believer. All of the saved, whether they've been baptized or not, are brethren. A person can get saved, they can trust the Lord as their Savior, and from that moment, they're our brother or our sister in Christ. And they are worthy of that title. And we should call them brother. We should call them sister. But they're not a Baptist until they have been immersed. They're a child of God. They may even begin to study their Bible, and they may even begin to, in their own way, try to discipline their lives according to the Word of God. But they still do not deserve to wear the name Baptist until they have been immersed, until they have been baptized, scripturally baptized. You know, and here we go again. Because of our day and age that we're living in, we have to clarify that when we say baptism, we mean baptism. It's ridiculous.
That's right.
Look again back in John 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Yeah, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. You are a child of God. You're not a Baptist, but you are a child of God as a believer. God has given you the power to become the Son of God. God has given you the authority to wear the name child of God. You don't have any authority to wear the name Baptist unless you've been baptized with authority.
That's the same word as power in Matthew 28.
That's right. Exousia. That's right, brother. Back in Galatians 3:26, I believe is the one that says that ye are the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. See, well, I don't know why this is so hard for so many people to understand today, but it's one of the things that, and we've talked about it before in this series, this is one of the things that differentiates us between every other denomination of Christendom, as this distinction between a child of God and being in the family of God and being a baptized disciple and being in the church of God. For some reason or another, the majority of Christendom has it fixed in their minds that as soon as they got saved, as soon as they became a child of God, bingo, automatically they were also a church member of some kind. It's not so. There's only one kind of church as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, and that's His kind of church. And the way you become a member of His kind of church is, first of all, get saved, and then after that, get scripturally baptized. I have to say that again, scripturally baptized. You just get baptized. That's one of the reasons why the Anabaptists had such a problem back in the Dark Ages and before the Dark Ages. Because when they talked about baptism, they were just as narrow-minded as we are today. They didn't believe anything was baptism except what they did. And that's why when someone came to them from one of the other groups, well, from the Catholic Church, and they claimed to be saved, they would baptize them. And that just made the Catholics furious because they said, why? The nerve of them taking those people out there and baptizing them again. And the Anabaptists said, no, we're not baptizing them again. We're baptizing them. They were never baptized. What you did to them before was not baptism. You have no authority to baptize. Only the Lord's church has authority to baptize. We're the Lord's church. We baptize believers. Isn't that what we preach and teach today? And that's what the Anabaptists, the Waldenses, the Albigenses, the Paulicians, the Donatists, and all of those ancient fathers of the faith stood for back yonder, died for even. It's a descriptive name. We're baptizers. Catholics aren't baptizers. Oh, they do something and call it baptism. Protestants are not baptizers. Oh, they also do something and call it baptism. But when they come and they hear us preach, and they come and they say, we want to be a member of this body, and we demand that they be baptized, they say, oh, but I've already been baptized. And we say, oh, but you have not. Because the only institution on earth that has authority to baptize is the Lord's church. And we are one of the Lord's churches. We have the authority. If you want to serve God the Bible way, if you are saved, if you show evidence, if you bring forth fruits meet for repentance, then we will gladly baptize you. And you can serve God the New Testament way in this local body, this body of Christ. But what you've done out yonder, that's nothing. As far as we are concerned, that is nothing. As far as God is concerned, our name is a descriptive name. It's a divine name. It is a descriptive name. There's nothing wrong with the name Baptist. I don't think there's anything wrong with the name Christian. I don't mind being called a Christian. Even though when people think of Christians today, when the average lost person thinks of Christians today, they think of someone like Jimmy Swaggart or Jim Baker, Tammy Baker. They may even think of the Pope. And I am appalled to be classified in the same class as those. But I am not ashamed of the name Christian. Amen. Billy Graham claims to be a Baptist. Jerry Falwell claims to be a Baptist. Pat Robertson claims to be a Baptist.
Jimmy Carter.
Claims to be a Baptist. I do not want to be classified in the same class as these men, but I am not ashamed of the name Baptist. It is a divine name. It is a descriptive name. In order to be a Baptist, you need to be scripturally immersed. In fact, I would even go so far as to say that in order to really fulfill the Great Commission, you have to be a Baptist. John was a Baptist. He baptized Jesus and the apostles, therefore they were Baptists. The folks that they baptized were Baptists. One of these nights I'll have to bring in that little Footsteps of the Flock. Have you ever read that? Footsteps of the Flock. It's a very interesting little chain link succession that shows a history of the Lord's churches from the time of Jesus Christ all the way up until today. Showing how that John baptized John the Baptist baptized John the Apostle. John the Apostle baptized Polycarp. Polycarp baptized Tertullian. Tertullian baptized, and it goes on, I lose track now, but it goes on and actually shows how that these men baptized this man baptized this man, this man baptized this man. And all it takes you all right all over to Wales, and from Wales to the United States, and right up into a church down in Tennessee somewhere today. They were Baptists. Not only is the name Baptist a divine name and a descriptive name, but it is also a divisive name. Look in Luke chapter 12. Verse 51, Jesus is the speaker, and he says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division." You know, we hear so much today about all unity. We must have unity. We've got to all get together and work together in this thing, and unity is good. I am for unity. Based upon the Word of God. Amen. I don't like to fight. I don't like division. I wish that everybody in Tacoma would all get together in unity around the Word of God. I wish that they would all preach and teach the same thing. I really do. But I'm not going to unionize with some fella that's teaching salvation by works. I'm not going to unionize with somebody who believes that you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. I'm not going to unionize with someone that says that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. I'm not going to unionize with somebody that says that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a universal, invisible, mythical, I don't know what. I'm not going to unionize with somebody that says that baptism isn't important. I'm not going to unionize with somebody that says that when you get saved, that's your spiritual baptism. I'm just going to keep on preaching salvation by the sovereign grace of God. I'm just going to keep on preaching the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to preach that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a local, visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers banded together to do the will of Christ. I'm going to preach the doctrines of grace, eternal security. In Acts 28, verse 22, it says, "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." And that's the way it was in New Testament times. The Lord's true churches, as they went out and preached, as they went out and witnessed, as they went out and talked to people about the things of God, and as they preached the Word of God, they were everywhere spoken against in New Testament times. A little bit later in history, did things get better? No. They were persecuted even unto death. In the Dark Ages, 50 million Baptists were put to death because of their stand on the Word of God. And today, with the religious freedom that we enjoy in good old Christian America, everywhere, people who believe like we believe are looked down upon. We're a thorn in the religious sides of religious society today. Outcasts. We just don't fit in. When it comes to the ecumenical movement, we're not a part of it. Most of the time, you won't find our churches listed in the town ministerial association's favorite places to be and go. Because what we stand for, what our name stands for, is divisive. Just by being what we are, automatically sets us apart from the rest of the religious world. Not just the lost world, the rest of the religious world. In fact, many times, if you look back in history, some of our most severe persecution came not from the heathen, the lost heathen, but the lost religionists. Brother Jim.
I read something here, Brother Larry. Mm-hmm. This is in the Epistle Dedicatory in front of the King James Bible. And this is written by the men that translated the King James Bible. And it says, we shall be traduced by popish persons at home or abroad, who therefore will malign us, because we are poor instruments to make God's holy truth to be yet more and more known unto the people, whom they desire still to keep in ignorance and darkness. Or, if on the other side, we shall be maligned by self-conceited brethren, and let's talk about us, who run their own ways and give liking unto nothing but what is framed by themselves and hammered on their anvil. So, Anabaptists have always been a thorn in the flesh of the people that ran to the truth.
That's right. Those are the words of Episcopalians there, actually, if you stop and think about it. Well, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the name of the Lord's church. I know that there's been times in my life as a child of God, as a Baptist, where I've shied away from the name Baptist. I'm not going to do it ever again. I'll never shy away from the name Christian, and by God's grace, I'll never shy away from the name Baptist. I believe it is a divine name. It describes something unique in the Christian world. Yes, it is divisive. But Jesus himself said, "What do you think I came to bring peace? No, I tell you nay, I came with a sword to bring division. Truth divides. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus again is the speaker. He says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Yeah. You talk about election. I believe in election. I believe in an election within the elect.
Amen. Maybe one more.
Yeah. Jesus said, "I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." People get angry when you start talking about the sovereignty of God and in unconditional election unto salvation. But I'll tell you something else. They'll get even angrier when you begin to talk about the sovereignty of God in Christian service in a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Oh, those are fearful words. Jesus said, "They know not him that sent me." Whew. Man. And, you know, and we get accused all the time of being judgmental. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. John 15, verse 21. "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Whoa. That sounds landmarky.
Sounds Baptist brighty.
Yeah. Amen. He's saying here that he's got a people, he's got a church that's been with him from the beginning. What's he trying to do? Rattle some chains here or something? You know, that's what they call us sometimes, chain rattlers. because we believe in succession, church succession.
Not change or shake into our heritage.
Amen. Amen, brother. I'll tell you, the Baptist name is a worthy name. Don't be ashamed of it. It's a divine name. It's a descriptive name. It is a divisive name. We are differentiated from all other groups by our name. Amen. Baptists have had many names. They've been called many things down through time. But they've always been the same people, standing for the same doctrines. Prefixes come and go. But the name Baptist abides. There are separate people. 1 Corinthians 11. Verses 19 through 21. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And then you know how it goes from there about the Lord's Supper. The Baptists are peculiar when it comes to taking the Lord's Supper. They're a separate people. They do not believe in what is called open communion. Only the members of the local church observing the ordinance are offered the elements of the wine and the bread, which represent the blood and the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the distinctives that makes us separate from all others. Same way with baptism. We don't accept alien baptism. You know what alien baptism is? Foreign baptism. That doesn't mean, you know, some creature from outer space come down here and baptize somebody. Might as well. Might as well get baptized by a man from the moon as from the Catholics or the Protestants. Or the renegade off-breed so-called Baptists. That's all alien, foreign. In order for it to be real, it's got to be our kind. That makes us separate. That makes us distinct. That makes us different. 1 John 2:19, and then we'll close out. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You know, I get discouraged sometimes when I see people depart. I don't like that. It bothers me. But the Holy Spirit comforts me by leading me to verses like this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. We've had folks, members of this church, we thought they were, but they weren't. Because as time went by, it was manifested that they weren't really real. They weren't real Baptists. They went out from us because they weren't of us. No telling where they'll wind up. Some Arminian, maybe even charismatic, universal outfit of some kind. Who knows? In the meantime, what are we going to do? Just keep preaching. Keep standing for the truth as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get our songbooks. Stand and turn to hymn number 104.